We're holding Tehillim, Perek Zayin, 16th chapter. Nichtam LeDavid. King David speaks, he is beginning a new psalm, and he begins with the word Nichtam, which can mean a type of song. He's telling the people how to sing this one. Our sages derive from this word Nichtam that David HaMelech was introducing himself, I am David, who was makato tama, mach betam, he is humble and complete in that he was born circumcised. David was born without needing a circumcision, nichtam ne David. Shomrei Miel, he says, God, please protect me, ki chasiti vach, for the protection and cover that I've always sought in my life is you. I've always looked to you for coverage, so God, please protect me. Amalt Lashem, David HaMelech is now speaking in the female sense. He's either speaking to his own soul or he's speaking to the Jewish people. Have you said to Hashem, Adonai Ata? You are my master. David is either telling himself or the Jewish people, you should recognize and proclaim God is the one that's running the show. And notice over here the word is spelled out. Aleph, Dalet, then the Nun, and then the Yud. Tovati bal alecha. All the good that you do to me, you don't really owe me. It's not your responsibility. You do good to me, but you don't owe it to me. Notice the difference between David and everyone else. Ordinarily people think, God, why'd you do this to me? Why didn't you do things, why didn't you make things better for me? And David says, all the good that you do for me, God, I don't deserve it. You don't really owe it to me. Likdoshim asher ba'aretema, you're doing all this good for me because of all the holy ones that are buried in the ground, my forefathers, it's their merits that are getting me this far. Ve'adirei kol chetzivam. And the awesome people that all that I want, you do because of their merit. Kol chetzi, everything that I want, vam, you do because of them and their right. The next verse has to be read with proper commas. Yirbu atzivotam acher maharu. Those that are acher maharu, that are maharu, that rush for acher, for another one, they don't turn to God. Yirbu atzivotam. They try to have many idols. Balasich niskehem midam. I do not libate as they would with blood. The common offering for idols was blood. And the Torah keeps warning us, the blood is the soul, you may not eat the blood with the animal. The Torah is constantly training us, explains the Rambam, to learn new concepts, new ways of thinking, that we do not eat the blood, we do not drink the blood, we do not offer a cup of fresh blood. The one of the common practices in serving the idols was that they do nechira. Nechira is that they cut straight into the animal's heart and have a circle, like a circular cut, cutting out the animal's heart, and then the blood would come gushing out, and that fresh blood was offered to the demons. It was offered as a way of sacrifice. And the Torah says quite the contrary. We, when we do kill an animal, we do it in the fashion that's as clean as possible. The knife has to be without serrated edges, in the way that it will cut as smoothly, as quickly as possible. We have special laws as to how to do it to minimize the pain to the animal. And David HaMelech is saying, these people who rush to go to another source, they go serve idols, they amass many idols, and I won't libate with them how they libate blood. I caution myself not even to mention their names. People aren't careful enough about this point. People are quick to say names of things that are bad and names of people that are bad, and we see from here it's something a person should try to question himself. A person should try to distance himself from doing that. That's why you'll see many people say JC. Why don't they say his name? There's a reason why they don't say his name. David HaMelech is saying, I don't take their names on my lips. I don't even mention their names. It's interesting that when David refers to idol worship, he calls it Acher. And we've discussed in the past, we're going to discuss at length again on Sunday, that in Hebrew the word Acher doesn't just mean the other. The word Acher has negative connotations. When we want to discuss a pig, we say it's Davar Acher. It's another animal, it's another creature. When we want to discuss a person that has taraz, he has some kind of leprosy, we say he has davar acher, he has something else. When we say idol worship, we call it acher. The term acher is often used for something that's derogatory.
I believe Yaakov refers to Shimon as acher. When
we asked that when we learned it. Yeah, that's where we had this discussion. Very nice. Okay, what do you remember it? Achichem ha'acher ve'et Binyamin. That's where we raised the discussion. Hashem menat chelki v'chosi ata tomech gorali. God, you are my portion. You are, so to speak, my cup. You're the source of the good that I have. You're the one that supports my lot, so to speak. God takes his hand and says, "Son, take that." What does the loving father do? He guides his son. He says, "Here, take it." I was visiting Shiva today, a person not from the Shiva, and he recounted how when his father was a little kid, his father grew up out in Connecticut, and there was no Judaism, there was no Jewish day school, and at 12 years old, he decided he's going to New York to learn, wants to go to Yeshiva.
What?
At 12. Oh. 12 years old, he went to Yeshiva to learn by Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Rav Moshe Feinstein's high school. And when he was there, there was one thing, or a few things that made an impact on him. One of the things that he remembers is that he went to a tish. He didn't remember which Rebbe it was, but he came to the tish, and there were hundreds of Hasidim lined up around the table where the Rebbe sat. And the person who brought him to the front lines, and the Rebbe sat down, and he had this plate filled with herring. And the Rebbe looked at him, is this 12-year-old boy, and he signals him with his finger, "Come close." So he comes in, and the Rebbe picks up a toothpick, and he sticks it into the fish, and he says to him in the best English he could, he says, "Here, make a bracha." And he made a bracha, and he had the fish. Second later, all the chassidim pounced with their hands on the fish, and each one grabbed whatever fish they could get. So he said, this was the person who headed one of the major educational institutions here in Jerusalem for girls. He said, from that occurrence when he was a kid, he learned a lot about chinuch. He said, firstly, the Rebbe called him, he gave him special attention before everyone. Here is a stranger, an American boy, doesn't know much about Judaism. The Rebbe signals him, "Come close." Secondly, he knows all the chassidim and he'll pounce on it with their hands, but this is an American boy. So he picks up a toothpick, and he takes a piece of the toothpick, and he offers it to him, and then he tells him in English, "Make a bracha." And only afterwards does he let the chassidim each grab their piece of fish. Sometimes we have to take someone's hand, we have to tell him, "Here, this is the good luck, this is what you should take." David HaMelech is saying to Ribono Shel Olam, "Ata tomech gorali." You're the one that supported me to go this right path. We always need people to help us. A person is never going to be able to succeed in life alone. And one of the things we have to recognize is that people sometimes are supposed to help us to find the right lot. And David HaMelech is turning to God and he's saying, "You supported me the right way. You keep showing me the right way to go." Chavalim naflu li banimim, af nachlat shafra alai. David HaMelech is saying, when I had this portion to be in your lot, that you're taking care of me, banimim, it was pleasant for me. I was happy with my portion. Very often in life, people aren't happy with their portion. Chafetz Chaim said that in heaven, every person is allotted a certain amount of troubles. And if we were given the option, that we every person could throw their troubles in a barrel and then pull out of the barrel. He might get someone else's troubles. There are millions of people in the world. He might get his own troubles again. Every one of us would say, I'd rather take mine back, because the troubles that God gives us match our strength. As hard as they are, God gives us the strength to deal with them. So even though very often people kvetch, say, ah, it's difficult, I'm in a tough spot. The truth is that we're in exactly the spot we should be. And the person is supposed to recognize that. David HaMelech is saying to Hashem, I find it pleasant, the lot I got. David didn't have an easy lot. He spent the first years of his life being branded a bastard. People said he wasn't worthy to even marry into the Jewish people. And then afterwards he spent time running away from his father-in-law, and then he spent time with the Jewish people trying to rebel under him. Life wasn't easy. But David HaMelech says to God, the lot you gave me is pleasant. There's a story of a Hasidic Rebbe who had a disciple who was suffering. And the disciple came to him and said, Rebbe, I need you to give me encouragement. I'm falling. So the Rebbe told him, look, you heard of this other famous Hasid that has everything bad happening to him? He says, yeah, he's famous. Everyone's heard all the bad things he suffered. So he said, do me a favor. Go to him and ask him. So the guy thinks, what am I going to do? How am I going to ask? He says, don't worry, you go and you ask. So the guy packs his bags and travels out and shows up at the guy's door and he knocks on the door. And a shining, smiley face opens the door. This is a man that lost children. This is a man that had so much suffering in his life, so much personal affliction, so much problems with his health, so many afflictions. He was famous in the Hasidic world for all his suffering. He sees this shining man smiling at him. So the man asks him, how can I help you? So he says, the Rebbe so-and-so sent me to you. He said, is that important Rebbe sent you to me? Impossible. Well, what would he send you to me for? He says, so I said, you teach me. He said, what can I teach you? He sent you to me? I have nothing to teach you. So the man stuttering finally gets the words out. He says, well, I told him that life is very, very difficult for me right now. And he said that I should come to you and you'll teach me. So the man says, you see, I told you it can't be he sent you to me. I have the most pleasant life in the world. I really feel very bad to hear that things are so bad for you. But by me, I can't imagine why the rest of you think I have something to teach you. I, Baruch Hashem, have been so blessed. I have nothing to teach you. Now it's the end of the conversation. David HaMelech, with all his suffering, the children he lost, the personal afflictions he had, the problems he had with his health, the enemies that kept trying to bite him, he says, "Chavalim nachlulib b'neimim." The portions I keep getting from you, God, they're pleasant. Asmachla shafalai. The lot that you gave me, it's good in my eyes. Avarech Hashem asher yatzani. I bless Hashem who has given me this advice to choose life. And at night my innards keep paining me. Am I fearful enough of God? Am I loving enough to God? It's interesting, our sages say this pasuk is referring to the advice that God gives us. God says you have two choices in life. You can choose life, you can choose death. So some people say, I choose life till I eat the pizza, and after the pizza I go for death.
Oh wow.
He's not here. But the Torah tells us choose life. My father once told me, he said that we all have a tendency, like a moth, to be attracted to fire. And the Torah sometimes has to tell us choose life. So the David HaMelech is saying, I bless Hashem that advised me to go in the path of choosing life. At night I am pained, I wonder, am I filling my end of the deal? Shiviti Hashem l'negdi tamid. David HaMelech says the famous verse, I have placed Hashem opposite me permanently, always, whatever I do, I think of Hashem. Notice the wording. Shiviti, I place. You think God is always there? No, we don't always notice God there. There's a constant conflict. When we wake up in the morning, there's me, and there's me. And then we have to remember, no, there's God. And then there's maybe me. But the first thing we think in the morning is me. So David HaMelech says, Shiviti, I place Hashem l'negdi, opposite me, tamid. I always ask myself, is this what God wants of me? And am I filling my end of the deal? Ki mi 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 balemot, because God is on my right, and that's why I don't falter, that's why I don't fall. Another understanding is ki mi mi mi, because on my right I have the Sefer Torah. A king has a special mitzvah to write for himself a small Sefer Torah that goes with him everywhere like an amulet. And David HaMelech says that's why I have God opposite me all the time. Lachem Samach libi vayagel kivodi af besari yishkon naveta. Because I have constant faith that God won't let me go, that's why I am happy. Ki lo tazov nafshi lishol, because I know you won't let my soul go down to perdition. Lo titen chasivcha lirot shachat, you won't let me fall to the depth. Todiyein yor hachayim, let me know the way of life. Even when we want to choose life, we need God's help in knowing which way is the way of life. Sometimes people think they're choosing life. They say, oh, I'm learning Torah, that's life, I'm doing the best I can. And they kill themselves learning Torah. There have been, unfortunately, many cases of people who went crazy learning Torah. Person doesn't sleep, person doesn't eat, person doesn't take care of himself. At some point, person can go nuts. The halacha says a person is supposed to take a break from his learning. Person in learning is supposed to find the way of life. But in learning, we also have to find life. That same learning is supposed to give us all the sustenance in the world, but has to be done in a way that it will. So the Eini, David HaMelech is telling Hashem, let me know in the way of life. Sova smachot et panecha. This is one of the verses that speaks to me a lot. Yeah?
How do you draw the new line between learning Torah and learning Torah and learning Torah? How do you do that?
Two things. The balance is something which a person learns if he is cognizant of the fact that he's supposed to be learning it. So a person tries a few months of learning full time and learning day and night, and eventually he realizes that he's not focused the way he should. He realizes that maybe I'd be better off sleeping, and maybe I'd be better off taking a few more breaks, and maybe I'm reading the same line 15 times, or I'm running through paragraphs and books and I don't retain. Maybe I have to review more, maybe I have to take more notes. It's advisable for a person to take counsel, speak to people who have experience. You could speak to fellow students and see what works for them, but then you're taking advice from beginners, which sometimes is very, very good because they're experiencing what you're experiencing, but sometimes it also lacks the experience that someone else might have. That's why it's recommended to speak to people who do have experience and can think through with you how to make the most of your time and how to get things balanced. Person is also supposed to try to have role models, see what other people are doing, but with moderation, because people sometimes have a role model who's been working at it for 25 or 30 years and they think they could do that on day one and that won't work. So in certain things it's good to have role models, but it's always best to find someone who can understand the person and help them do it. Our sages tell us that even David HaMelech needed a Rebbe. David HaMelech, even towards the end of his life, there was a time when his son rebelled after he had sinned, and God had promised him that he'd have serious troubles, and he did. So everyone left David, and David himself didn't know if God would ever want him back. And then Iro HaYairi was David's Rebbe. He brought him back. He came to him and he said, David, what'd you do? So David said, I did the best I could. He said, well, why'd you take a woman when you were out of war? And David says, well, the Torah says it's allowed. So he said, yes, the Torah says it's allowed. The Torah also says it's not recommended. Who let you do something like that? Why'd you do that? And David said, I didn't know that. I wasn't supposed to do it. I thought if it's allowed, I could do it. So he told him, you see, you're paying the price. This is part of the price because you took such a woman. You shouldn't have done that. So she was a captive, fine. But to take her as your wife, who let you do that? That was one of the rebukes that he gave him. at any rate, he brought him back by explaining to him that the suffering he had was really an outgrowth of his own actions. He helped him come to terms with what was going on, and he gave him insight into the ways of God and helped him remain the great dove that we know. But we see that even a man of his stature, and even towards the end of his life, he needed external support. Everyone needs support, and we find it through prayer, but we also find it practically through people who care and who will give it, and hopefully know how to give it correctly. So David is asking God, teach me the way of life, teach me the path of life, because it's not always so obvious which is the path of life. David is saying, I want a happiness that is endless, and that is the happiness of the future when one is close to understanding God. Ne'imot b'mincha netzach, and pleasantness with your right hand, so to speak, that's eternal. Sovas machot, so to speak, is to be satiated from happiness. That's eternal happiness, and that's what David HaMelech is saying. I want to get there. Teach me the path of life. So to summarize what we saw, David began the song with Michtam le David, either a form of the song or recounting the fact that David was humble and whole. He was born circumcised. He asked God to protect him. He wants God.
David was born circumcised?
Correct. He was born without a foreskin. David asked God to protect him, that he's the one who wants God's protection. He's saying, God, all the good that I have is thanks to you. I really don't deserve it. If it's any merit, it's the merits of my forefathers. Those who go to idols, those who look for external sources for their good, I want to have nothing to do with them. You, God, are the source of my good. Everything you've given me is pleasant. I bless you. You're the one that advises me, that teaches me. I place you opposite me forever. And therefore, my happiness is because I know that you are with me. You won't let me fall. Please continue teaching me the way of life so that ultimately I will be with you eternally. That was Perek Tesnai.
Thank you.